Everybody say glory. Glory. Say glory.
Glory.
Man, I'm humble tonight. I know I've been off island much. Took care of some of the business that was occurring as far as my brother was concerned. And my family from Kauai, just want to thank the whole church. The whole church. Not just all pastors, but you all for the support. You know, with my brother's passing and stuff. And I thank God because I got to see all my family. Everybody came home. Everybody. All my brothers, my sisters, well, me and my brother, all my sisters, all my nephews, my nieces, everybody came home. And we had a blast. I mean, shucks, man, I hate to have seen him leave so early in his life. But, you know, when it's time for you to clock out, you got to clock out. So my advice to you all, while you're still here and living on the face of this earth, when you have an opportunity to praise the Lord, praise it like it's your last time here on this earth. Amen. Make it worthwhile. Amen. And, you know, my brother did the eulogy, and my sister-in-law, she just gave us the, she told us, you two, you guys are going to run the whole service. I said, what? You know, she told me way in advance, so then I came home, and I told my brother, hey, me and you going to run the whole service, you know, for the celebration. He said, no, we're not. We're run the celebration. He says, no, we're not. We're going to run the celebration. I guess he got mad. He got real mad. I said, okay, you don't believe me? We'll call your sister. So my sister Ruthie, she's the youngest of all the siblings. She takes care of all of the matters like to do with the funeral and all that kind of stuff. So my brother goes ahead and calls up Ruthie. Ruthie said, oh yeah, Pastor Lotu said that you guys run in the service at the celebration. He looked at me, I went, we run the service, so. But all is well. All is well, and you know, we had a great time, and there was talk about canceling the revival because in March, at around maybe the third week of March, we usually have the revival that my brother and I always been able to fly back and support my brother with his revival. And it would be like in the middle of March towards the third week of March every single year. And my sister-in-law called me and she told me, oh, did your brother tell you? Brother tell me what? Oh, you're going to close out the revival on the Sunday that Joel was to have been spoken over here, speaks over here. I was to have end the revival there. It started on Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday. Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night, and then Sunday. Sunday was the closing, and he told me to close it up. I said, my brother didn't tell me anything. Well, tag, you're it. So I was like, oh. And before I left to go to Kauai on the 18th, which was on a Friday, I woke up PO'd. You guys know what that means. I was mad. I was angry. Why? Because I didn't get the day off that I requested. My boss didn't give me the day off. He knew that every year at this time I would fly back and assist my brother. He didn't give me the day off. So I was already angry when I woke up. So then I heard the Spirit of the Lord tell me, consider the words that you're going to say before you start your day. He told me, you'd better consider every single word that's going to come out of your mouth before you start your day. I said, whoa. Okay. So when he told me that, I said, oh. I had to kind of like buckle down and consider what was said to me, yeah. So during the course of the day, I didn't utter anything negative. I just went through the course of my day, and what occurred threw me off, because during the course of the day, a lot of things was happening, yeah, preventing me from flying over. All kinds of things was happening. Everything that I was doing on my run wasn't going as planned. I needed to be out of work before a certain time, or else I would miss my plane. And during the course of the day, I get a call from my wife. She tells me, "Oh, the plane that's supposed to go to Kauai is canceled." So I said, "Okay." I didn't utter anything. I didn't reverb what she said. Yeah, I just kept my mouth silent. Didn't say anything. So I go ahead and do my run. Time has already ran out. I was already past the time that I needed to get to the airport. So that was out of the, you know, out of my checklist. And then I reached up in, I think it was a Haiku area. They were doing this job on the road. And it was only like 5 minutes to my destination to fill up the customer. And then I would finish up my day accordingly, yeah? Well, they had a roadblock. It detoured me. What supposed to have taken 5 minutes took me now 20 to 30 minutes. I had to reroute myself, go all the way down Haiku, come back up on, I forget what is the other road, just to get to that one house that I needed to get. And then I came back down. All this is going on. So I knew that the urgency of me being there was needed because of all of this thing that was going on over here. So I just, during that whole time, I played the CD. I forget what was the guy's name, but you know that song, "This Is How I Fight My Battle"? I played it on my phone, and it just reverbed right into my cab because the thing got the Bluetooth, and I let that song just play during the whole course of me driving around. "This is how I fight my battle." And the thing just kept on playing during the whole ordeal until I was finished. I get to the airport. I go straight to the lady. I told the lady, "Hey, can I ask you a question?" "Yeah." She was about ready to close. She was about ready to go home because she had a long day. So then she goes ahead and helps me. And I told her, "You know, I heard that my flight got canceled. Oh, let me see." So she just plugs it in and says, "Oh, yeah, it got canceled from Honolulu to Kauai." So then she said, "You know what I'm going to do? Can you leave earlier?" I said, "Well, I'm here. I'm all dirty. I just came straight from work. You know, so yeah, I can leave earlier." So she books me on an earlier flight. She gives me my ticket. She tells me, "Okay, go upstairs as soon as possible." I tell, "Okay, shoot, get on my bag, throw whatever I have to throw inside the plane," and then I went upstairs. Meanwhile, my wife and my boy already left already. I told them, "You guys better go, because if anything happens, then I'm gonna worry about you guys." You know, so I let them go first, and they got there all right. Everything was fine. I get upstairs, I grab my ticket. I have two tickets. I give it to the guy. I tell the guy, "Oh, the lady downstairs told me to give them to you." He takes my ticket. He rips one, throws it away. He rips the other and throws them away. He gave me back one ticket. So I'm looking at it and I said, "Okay, this is the trip from here to Honolulu." So I'm waiting. I thought he was making my second ticket from Honolulu to Kauai. I tell him, "Oh, excuse me, sir. I supposed to have two tickets. I'm going to Kauai." Well, he looked at me. "Oh, brother, I'm so sorry. Oh, that day was so rough today. Oh, I had a long day, believe me. A lot of flights was canceled, and so sorry. So after that, he grabbed my ticket, told me, "Okay, I'm going to have to rip this one up too." I rip him up. So you rip him up, then he makes a whole different ticket. So after he told me, "Oh, you're not going to make them to Honolulu in time for catch your plane that goes to Kauai. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make your flight, this one, they're going out now, and the thing will get you to Kauai." I said, "Okay, shoot, whatever it takes." So he takes my ticket, and he makes them. He He told me, now when you reach Honolulu, no, get off the plane. Just stay on the plane that you are on. I think that plane going straight to Kauai. I said, for real? Yeah. I said, oh, shoot, thank you, yeah. He said, no, I apologize. You know, hello, Looney Tunes in my head right now because, you know, I had a long day and everything. But he got me on a plane that got me all the way to Kauai because of the words that never come out of my mouth. I never let the words that my wife had tell me come out of my mouth. Because whatever I was going to say, that's exactly what was going to occur. So before my whole day even had started, God said, I would rather consider what you're going to say. Consider. Think about what you're going to say before you say anything. And I never said nothing. The whole day, I never said nothing. All I did was praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. However this thing going to work, praise you, Lord. And I made it all the way to Kauai. So good, yeah, God. So good. God is so good. You know, turn your Bibles to Psalms 34. Psalms 34. I'm going to go past all my notes. Psalms 34. Verse 8. If you have it, say amen. Amen. If you don't, say oh my. Look at what it says there. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Can you say that the Lord is good? Yes. Tell your neighbor, the Lord is good. Lord is good. Amen. What else does it say? It says, blessed is the man that trusted in him. Blessed is the man, empowered to prosper, as we've learned, yeah? Is the man that trusted in him. Now let's go backwards now to verse 1. I'll bless the Lord at what? All times. When it's convenient? When the sun is up and shining? When it's gloomy outside? All times, yeah? His praise shall continually be in my mouth. His praise, yeah? Not Allah, not Buddha, not Krishna, not Jack in the Box, not your car, not your home. His praise, yeah, shall continually be in my mouth. Verse 2, it says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. And look what the psalmist says, David says. He says, now join me. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. Amen. Verse 4, it says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Verse 5, they looked up unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. I'm going to explain that part too as well. Verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamped round about them that fear him and deliver them. And then verse 8 again. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. This account occurs when David was trying to run away from Saul. Yeah, I think it's in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 19. I'm going to start with chapter 19, but I'm just going to share with you. It's already in my heart. I've been already consumed with 19, 20, 21, and 22. The chapters in 1 Samuel. But in 1 Samuel 19, Saul orders his men and Jonathan that the plan, amen? Everybody say the plan. The plan is to kill David. Jonathan, oh, what? Jonathan stutters at the sound of his daddy's voice. What? Like you, David. So that was the plan in chapter 19, yeah? When we get to chapter 20, David and Jonathan make a covenant between each other because now that King Saul wants to kill David, David wants to know, hey, if this thing is real, if this thing is legit, or are you just talking rubbish to me? And he finds out later that Saul was meaning business, yeah? Saul wanted to kill David with everything within him. And the covenant between Jonathan and David was so their bond was so tight that the covenant was that if anything happened to you, let your blood be upon my head. If anything goes wrong with you, let it be because of me, my fault. I'll never let you know everything that my daddy said in his bed chambers. So in other words, whatever the dad was going to say in private, Jonathan was going to let David know no matter what. He loved David that much, more love for David than his own daddy. So then David comes up with a plan. He said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. He said, for 3 days, I'm not going to come home. I'm going to make like I went to Bethlehem for seeing my family in Bethlehem. So he tells Jonathan this, okay, this is the plan. I'm not going to eat dinner like I usually do for 3 days. In those 3 days, if your dad gets angry and he gets upset, then we know he really mad with me and he like kill me for sure, for real. First day, Saul never even take notice. He said, oh, it must be he had sinned so he can have, you know, this, there's some kind of feast during that time and he never show up, David. Second day, David doesn't show up. So Saul tells Jonathan, hey, Jonathan, what's up with David? Where is he? So Jonathan tells the daddy, oh, dad, I gave him the rights for leave to visit his family in Bethlehem. He needed some time off. So right there, the father gets mad. Saul gets mad. He tells you clown. I mean, in the Message Bible, it has some whole vulgar words. If you were to read them in a Message, it'll chew your mind for a loop. But he was so mad, he was so PO'd that he told Jonathan, don't you know that this boy is the one going to steal the kingdom away from you? I trying for kill him, and you trying for let him go? Then Jonathan stood up with anger, and he butt head with the father. He thought, what are you going to kill him for? He did nothing but good for you. Nothing but good. Killed Goliath for you. He did everything for you. He even had sink for you. So all the demons in your head could be cast out of you. He did that. You know what the father did? Grabbed his javelin and he threw him at Jonathan. His own daddy had grabbed his own spear and he'd fly him straight at Jonathan. And Jonathan did the Matrix. You guys ever watch the Matrix? The one like this. Slow motion. And the Bible says that the thing had hit the wall. Jonathan was so angry, he even stormed out of the house. He said, for a surety, my father like killed David. So he told David, Jonathan ran, got a hold of David, told David, bro, my dad like kill you, bro. Don't you ever set foot in our house again. Get out of here and get out of here now. Okay? Now, I don't know if it's chapter 20 or 21. David starts running now. Okay? Pastor Carol, if a bear was chasing you, which direction would you head? If a bear was chasing you? The opposite direction, yeah? It would make sense, yeah? You guys all fine with that? You guys would run in the opposite direction of where the bear is chasing you, yeah? Or a lion, you know? Guess where David had run? In the enemy's camp. Just to get away from Saul. He runs towards the enemy's camp. The king of Gath. His name was King Achish. He runs to the enemy's camp. Now, if I was running in the enemy's camp, somewhere in my head, I'm going to think, I'm going to get busted if I go in that direction. Somebody going to notice me, perhaps. They might not, but I'm taking my chances. Okay? Remember now, we're talking about OTC and see that the Lord is good. Sometimes you got to go through stuffs in order to speak boldly. You know, that trip that I took, when I went to Kauai, I spoke so boldly. It was like a natural thing. I was like shocked at my own self after I'd been Paul minister on Sunday. Was on total chaos. Sunday morning, people was jumping up and down, dancing. And I was like, whoa, I was startled. So I knew the urgency when all the problems was occurring. I knew the urgency of me being there. You see, David is saying here, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Why? Because he's been through what he's been through right now. So he ends up at the enemy's camp. Tell me how close he was at the enemy's camp. Tell me. All you guys, come on, speak back to me. I need to hear your voice. Tell me, how close was he at the enemy's camp, Brother Lambert? So close. Okay? The Bible says that he was at the gate of the enemy's camp. So the servants of Achish saw him. And when they saw him, they started talking to each other. Hey, is not that the guy? What guy? Remember the guy, the one that everybody was singing about, Saul is 1,000 and was that David is 10,000? Isn't that him? So the servants of Achish saw him. Guess what David did? He acted like a madman. He started banging his head on the wall. Boom, boom. And then he started drooling to the point where he looked like he was just one total crazy man. And that's what he was going for, because he knew he was busted and fear gripped his heart. So he started banging his head on the wall. You guys ever heard Quiet Riot? Bang your head. I guess not. You guys don't listen to that kind of music. Does like BC days, but yeah. But David starts banging his head, yeah, on the wall. So the servants, they figure, okay, they're going to do the king one awesome favor. So they grab David and they bring him before the king. Now he's in the presence of the king. The king can slay him. Now this is the king of Gath. You guys remember Goliath? Yeah, he's part of their gang. Now David is before the king, acting all crazy. Sometimes you got to get off your high horse and just act the fool, yeah? Forget out of the trouble that you stay in. So that's what he did. He acted the fool. They brought him before the king, says, hey, king, this is the dude. The what? We know more enough crazy people in our kingdom that you bring me one extra one? You guys crazy? What? Look, he's a madman. He's going crazy. He's banging his head on a wall. He gets drool all over his beard. And you guys bring him in my presence? Who am I, a dog? All this has been portrayed. And the servants thinking now in themselves, but we're doing you a favor. You can kill him right now. That can settle the score. He don't need to be king over Israel. We get him in our presence. The king says, no, away with him. So guess what David does? Once he gets out of the king's way, he starts running again. Now he ends up in a cave called Adullam, the cave of Adullam. This is where I believe all of us, some of us was at, or maybe all of us was at one time. This is where we come to regather our thoughts, gather our position, where we at, because we're running, but we're running like chicken without head. Yeah. So he goes into the cave of Adullam, and that's where he finally relaxed himself. And I believe scholars have said that this is where David wrote this psalm, in that cave, the cave of Adullam. I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You know, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us lift his name together. You remember that verse? I think it was verse 5. It says, they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. You know who this talks about? If you go back, I think in chapter 21. When he runs to the cave of Adullam, guess who meets him? His whole entourage, his family. Not only his family, all those that was distraught, all those that were neglect from society, all those that never thought that they could make it in life. 400 men joined up to meet him in this cave called Adullam. And they wanted him to be their leader. How did that occur? I don't know how, but for some reason, they all thought in their head, this is who we want to lead us. In the state that these guys were in, after all that they've gone through, you know what the Bible says about those 400 men? They were mighty men of valor. After all that they've been through together. So here now, David is saying, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Why? Because he's speaking from a place of confidence. You know when the Lord saved you? You know when the Lord healed you? You know when the Lord delivered you? You know when the Lord, you know, blessed you? You know when the Lord, you know, did things for you? It increases your faith to the next level to where, bro, my whole trust is in him. Kind of like Paul when he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. How can he say that? If you look at the life of Paul and all that he's been through, shipwrecked. Remember that storm, Euroclodon? He comes on the bow of the ship and he tells all the men, hey, you guys better listen to me. No loose from Crete. I wouldn't set sail from Crete. I would rather stay here because there's something dangerous up ahead. They don't like listen. Not even the shipman wanted to listen to him. The owner of the boat who knows, you know, the storms and the seas and the ship, not even like listen to him. But when they got into the storm, who did they pay attention to? Paul came back. This night, an angel of the Lord had speak to me. All you guys' lives going to be saved as long as you stay on this boat. Let me be clear. As long as you guys stay on this boat, everybody's lives going to be saved. Guess what some of them wanted to do? They wanted to jump on a life raft. They did that. Go ahead. You're going to die. Because the word of the Lord said, you guys got to all stay on top of this boat. That's why he had confidence. He had to say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. How about the woman with the issue of blood? The hem of Jesus' garment did not heal her. It's what she said before she touched the hem of the garment of Jesus that healed her. She put the healing power of God on that hem by what she said. If only I can touch the hem of his garment, I know I'm going to be healed. Because of what she said, yeah? Voice activation, yeah? She put the healing power of God on that garment. There was nothing. You cannot say that the garment was the power that it healed her, because her planning is touching the garment before she even had reached there. So how come everybody else never get healed and only her? It makes sense now to me. Everybody else that was pushing alongside Jesus would have gotten healed too, because, you know. But I think because of the plandemic, I believe is what Kimo used there, Kimo said, but the plandemic. I think because of the plandemic, we've gotten used to the fact that the mask was our muzzle. It prevented us from really giving God praise. So if I was to entitle this message, don't let your mess be your muzzle. Yeah? Even though the mandate says that the mask is over, still in churches nowadays, still it's occurring, it seems like people still got their mask on, even though it's off. Because they've gotten so used to not praising God while they have their mask on, while they had their mask on. If you can breathe through it, you can praise through it. That's my thing. If you can breathe through that mask, then praise should be coming out of your mouth. Regardless. But because we got so used to with the mask that even though the mandate says, okay, all masks are off, Christians still don't utter. You know, like Pastor Joel says that our utterance should be different. You know, it should be enriched. It should be enhanced. Why? Because God brought us out from the miry clay into the place that we are right now. I thank God because when I went through that whole ordeal with my with the COVID and stuff, the thing that brought me out is that when I was at home, I was so weak that even my faith got tried. My belief structure got tried. I was going loonies. I was hallucinating. I thought I was working when I wasn't. I couldn't eat. I lost 30 pounds. I couldn't drink. And my wife came in to my room. As much as I wanted to praise God, I could not praise God. That's how weak I was. My mouth couldn't even utter a word. That's how weak I was. So my wife comes in and she tells me this because she's experienced now. Okay? She had it 2 months and a half before me. So she already had the COVID before me, yeah? She's already experienced it. So now she's telling me what she's experienced and how she got out of it. Just like how David said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. She comes in and she tells me, I went like this as I to her. I couldn't say nothing. I went to her and I went like this. I was bleeding internally, my own fault, and I was weak, I was tired. I looked at her and I said, I just did this, like, I'm gone already. After 2 days, I don't think I'm going to live. And this is what she told me. This is what helped me. This is what's going to help you. This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle. Then she told me, now here, drink this water. This is how I fight my battle. Now here, eat this pizza. You're going to eat something. I don't care if it's just one nibble. You're going to eat something because you need protein in your body. Then right there, I lifted up my hands. I said, Lord, I want to live. Because I said that, it didn't take long after. 3 days later, it's like Jesus rose from the dead. Brother Lambert rose from the dead. Because she experienced it, yeah? So now she's sharing with me her experience. While she was in that position, she said, babe, this is what I did. All I heard her saying in the back of my head, no, you ain't going to die. No. You ain't going to leave me here with these two kids. I'm having a hard time just running these two kids with the both of us, let alone with just me. I ain't having this. That's what I really heard behind my head. I'll never marry you for be single at an early age. I heard all that. And on top of that, this is how I fight my battle. So you cannot come to church lazy, crazy, and acting all like you cannot sing, you cannot praise God, because somebody's watching you. Somebody's watching you. And if you come in with that kind of attitude, you know that spirit is going to transfer. So from this day forward, I beseech you, brethren. I urge you, brethren, to rejoice and be exceedingly glad. To be glad in the Lord. You are the light of the world. They're looking out at you for confidence. They're looking out at you for reassurance. Somebody come in church on Sundays. You don't know what they've been through. But your handshake, your smile on your face, the dance that you do up here in the front, it all helps. Just those words that she told me woke me up. It's like the Spirit of God just came right back in me and boom. Oh, she said, this is what I did. This is how I fight my battle. You're going to have to do the same in order to get out of the rut that you're in. And then later on, she cracked on joke. It's just a man thing. And I don't mind that. You know why? Because I crack jokes at her. It's just a man thing. You man always cry for every little thing. A book in your hand. When you're sick, you like be pampered. Any man in the house? Just me, yeah? Just me. Sorry. Just me. I'm talking about myself. My wife, she can be sick and everything. She's still going around the house doing things like she's not sick. I thought, babe, rest. Take a break. Though. No, if I don't do them, nobody going to do them. Oh, yeah, no, you're right. Go ahead then. As you were, soldier. No. I wouldn't do that. Just kidding. Love you, babe. How about Job? Huh? In the midst of losing everything, he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. How he turned his circumstance right around, which would qualify him for the double, yeah? Some of you, if you just open your mouth, you'd get double already. How about Joseph? Amen. You can imagine now, if he never tell his dreams about what was going to happen in the future, he wouldn't have preserved life, as he said to his brothers. He told the brothers, you know, this is me, Joseph. The Lord had make this plan work out so that I could preserve life. You'd figure, Joseph, if you only keep your mouth shut, you wouldn't have had to go through all that hassle. But he had to. He had to say what he said so that he can go through what he went through and that life may have been preserved. Sometimes the trials that you're going through, you have to go through them so that you can be more grateful. You know, if I was just give you $1 million, you would just spend them. But if you work for them, guess how valuable that money becomes now because you put the effort in them, yeah? And some of us, before God bless us, he can put you through some things so that you can be more grateful. Like I said about the skyscraper, yeah? As high as the skyscraper goes up, that's as low as the skyscraper got to go down. Because the base got to go way down in order for the top be the way it is. You're looking good because you guys went all the way down. Yeah? So with confidence, David is saying, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, when you've tasted something, yeah, you usually like tell everybody, hey, you guys should taste this. You know, like I brought one a box of chocolates for pastor and the visiting pastors, you know, because I love them, yeah. When I took a bite of that chocolate, oh man, pastor, I'm gonna taste this. I give them to them. They tell me the same thing. So when you've tasted the goodness of God, it's easy to share it with somebody else. Easy. Very easy. Doesn't matter the cost. It's easy to share it with somebody else. I hope you received something tonight. I hope the Lord spoke to you concerning whatever it is. Amen.